sense that.
Maybe just giving a bow to your listening partner, sharing reflections with you and stories. So, does anybody want to offer a reflection or a comment on what you discovered? Or yes?
I, in the first story, I kept waiting for her to get busted.
Oh.
I kept thinking they're going to find out and she's going to get busted, and sure enough, she comes home with eight coins worth of flowers, and they're going to start asking questions, and she's going to get in trouble. Meh. And that was the Catholic girl.
Getting ready for punishment.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Isn't that interesting?
It was, yeah. And I love that that was not the ending of the story.
But a number of people have commented, like, wait a second, she never really got reprimanded for that.
Yeah. I think that's the best part.
Yeah.
And I wondered, well, she never got freed either.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that was her life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought about the mutual support between the queen didn't have freedom of movement, but this slave girl did. And of course the queen had the money and other things that the slave girl didn't have access to. And they ended up supporting each other in such an odd way, in that, I mean, the girl ended up offering the teachings of the Buddha to the queen, which you can hardly imagine a more honorable thing to be able to do. And from her position, that's quite amazing, simply because of her generosity and her goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struck by the somewhat ironic mutuality of that and the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's, I also then felt in my own being an honor to be able to participate in mutual relationships like that also.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And apparently all the women of the household became stream enterers, having received the teachings from her. It's really remarkable. And it's interesting, we think about her as a messenger, as transmitting, but how we transmit, it's like we were speaking over tea, is that each teacher adds their own interpretation, even in the way they inflect the words. So there is, and they're embodiment of those teachings. So there's a way in which the messenger is also the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
I like the pairing of the two stories, that the first one was really about the great joy of not being attached, of letting go through generosity. And then the second one was about the potential for great suffering when we don't, when we cling, when we're so attached. I thought that made a very nice pairing.
Thank you. I don't know if I did that consciously, but... Yes.
Probably one of the best storytellers I've heard for in a long time.
Oh, thank you.
But of course, I haven't heard too many stories.
Qualified.
But yeah, I wanted to ask you what, this is kind of more mundane, I suppose, question, but what your motivation was, seeing as you have an interesting background for completing your studies in school. You know, when this, what you're doing here seems to be a lot more less mundane as far as going out every day to study science or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So my motivation in performing like this?
No, I suppose just in school, in general. School, getting you know, what you had to do to become an elementary school teacher.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yes. Yes, my father's idea. It was my dad's idea. Did not want to be a teacher, but it's so interesting. Because, I mean, I love kids, but I don't know if any of you are teachers. Any teachers in the room? Former teachers? Yeah, you have to have this mind to organize so many different pieces. Mm-hmm. And anyway, the best part for me of teaching was the one-to-one or telling a story. Mm-hmm. I mean, a teacher, they say, has to make more decisions in a day than an air traffic control tower person. I mean, and that the stress. Anyway, teaching has been an ongoing riddle for me. You know, what is it about teaching? But what I've discovered is that I can offer, like recently gave a workshop to teachers on telling stories in the classroom and creating a sacred space, basically, in which no interruptions are allowed. We enter into this realm of wonder and awe. And the teacher, I was inviting them to share their own stories, but also to actually try telling folk tales, stories that have moved them that they might want to share with children. So, and then I was telling Kim, mindfulness and storytelling go so beautifully together, because the stories reach children, as a friend of mine likes to say, in a place they are hungry to be connected, attentive, engaged, and participating. And that's what's so amazing, is that a story engages the imagination and the emotional inner life in a way that a video can never do. Because the storyteller is present with the listeners. The storyteller intuitively shifts emphasis, changes the tempo, adds and subtracts from the story according to who's listening. So the storyteller is in tune, and that's what we all need for healing and for cognitive development, is attunement, is that sense of being tracked and seen, as Daniel Siegel calls it, mind sight, to be able to be in tune with another's mind. So I'm not sure I answered your question.
Yeah, I think you answered it. Yeah, I mean, you yeah, I think in a way you did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that some of the motivation in becoming a teacher was to have a livelihood, and also to connect with children. And but my current interest is teaching mindfulness to children. So that's. That's unfolding, and I hope it continues to unfold. Yes.
Are you finding, like, reading the Theragata and finding particular poems and looking for that noun, or how are you, or that early woman? Where are you getting your
sources?
Story? Yeah, it's not just sutta. I mean, it's.
Yes, you're right. That's a wonderful question. So the verses. There's a commentarial tradition. So the verses have a commentary. So this commentary gives a bit of biographical information about each of the nuns whose poem can be attributed. So Kisa Gotami, historian, mm-hmm. Kisa Gotami, or Padachara, some more well-known stories, they're short biographical information is available in these commentaries. And then for me, what I did was I read the poems and the commentaries, and then any reference to the queen or the individual in the Pali Canon. There's an amazing book called the Pali Dictionary of Proper Names, which you can look up Kozambi and find all kinds of information about the city. Or Kema, or Bimbisara, or Basanadi. So there's all these different sources. And then trying to weave a narrative, and that's the challenge, mm-hmm. is to weave a narrative that feels unified and feels cohesive. And that's because the Jataka tales, which are the original stories that I was translating and performing, the Jataka tales have a very definite beginning, middle, and end. And these stories are more nebulous, and a sort of a narrative has to be almost imposed on them, and to make it a listening experience. So that's a great question. Yeah, and my motivation, I was saying to Kim, is that for a number of years, translating and adapting the stories of the Buddha's former lives, and in every single instance, he was born as a male. So to find stories that celebrate women's practice and women's experience seemed very important to me. So I'm sure all of you are to some degree are storytellers. And I think that's my mission in life, is to remind people that they are storytellers, because we get so fascinated by our devices and this prepackaged entertainment. I mean, it's endless. It's endless how much time we can spend being entertained. But to actually sit down and share stories with someone, there's nothing more precious. And we don't know how healing it is to ourselves and to the other to receive someone's story, to have time for someone's story. What a gift. And then to share and to feel oneself heard is also a gift. To offer, you know, that snippet of our own experience. And even as we share it, it begins to take a narrative shape. And as we share it, we discover the insight, just as you did. You know, we discover that there is some way in which our own experience has yielded insight. But only when we tell the story do we discover it. So, yes.
I was very mindful when you just started to tell the story. My face just naturally smiled. And I felt like I was a very happy child that somebody's going to tell a story. And for years I've taught insight meditation in prisons and now jail. And it's always really noticeable when somebody says, okay, now I'm going to tell you a story. You know, these tough-looking guys, they just immediately regress to about 8 years old, and they're happy little boys. It's so magical.
Isn't it? Wow. What kinds of stories?
Oh, just, you know, whatever the talk is about.
Uh-huh.
You know, a story that is either from my own life or, mm-hmm. you know, from a book or mm-hmm. a Dharma story that... anything that is a narrative that can be put as a story, people relax and perk up their ears and are very present.
Yes. They go into receptive mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So I also was captured immediately after your first bit of drumming and a very strong awareness of being in this room with people, most of whom I know, all mm-hmm. listening, and that was really, really informed the whole experience to a great extent. And then also in the first story, the child who is deformed,
mm.
It seemed to me that this is kind of a common thing that happens in stories often, and that I've seen it in my own life, that the person who is carrying the story often has something very special about them. And it is often something that might be of the nature of a deformity or something that sets them apart. I had an experience with this that I related to Kim about being in a little village in Mexico where there was a person who was crazy, who had grown up in the village, was born in the village and grew up there. And there was a person who was a very flamboyant gay person who grew up in the village also. And they were clearly very important people who were totally accepted in this village and who had a character of specialness. And stories are often carried that way, and they must be carried by someone who's far away, either in their differences or has come a great distance. So thank you for coming a great distance to bring stories to us. It's been a very beautiful evening, and you know, reminds us of all of the things that you've said about how special it is to sit and listen together with others. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, till we meet again. Story trails. Dharma paths.